I thank God for this opportunity once again to stand before your presence. And as we are here this morning, let's sit prayerfully with open hearts as we listen to God's word. Shall we just pray very quickly? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you've done for us, O Lord. Lord, most of all, thank you for your word, O Lord. Help us to learn from it and keep it, O Lord. And most importantly, help us to live by it day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today's topic, if you haven't guessed already, is materialism. Obsession with our possessions that end up possessing us. On December 9th, 2011, Hong Kong-bound Cathay Pacific flight with flight 365 detected smoke in the cabin during takeoff. And as a result, they aborted their takeoff. The jumbo jet had 351 passengers and 19 crew. They began to evacuate the aircraft shortly thereafter. There was smoke in the cabin. They deployed all the slides, and they started to begin the evacuation process. Now, you've probably traveled, and you've probably heard the emergency demo and the flight attendants talking, but many times we don't really listen, right? We're on our phones. We're reading a magazine. We're doing something else besides listening to what they're saying. The rule is, in an evacuation, you leave everything behind. You don't grab your belongings. You don't grab anything. If you've got a kid, grab the kid. But you leave everything behind. I read of an account where the mother was trying to convince her kid, no, you got to leave your color pencils and you got to leave your toys. No, we got to go, we got to go. She grabs the kid in frustration and in reluctance, finally decides, okay, I'll leave, only to be trapped in the aisle where an adult was trying to maneuver a garment bag out of the overhead bin. A leading cause for accidents and injuries after or during the evacuation process is people grabbing their things, their belongings. And on this particular flight, nobody listened to that advice, and somebody actually got this in picture. We see here an individual or individuals with one, two, three bags strolling down, trapped, and the straps are all bundled around him, strolling down, and we see people with huge suitcases, massive suitcases, holding up the whole process, and people getting injured. And you can see the pileup. And that's how our materialistic society ends up being. It just becomes a huge pileup at the end of a chute. There's nothing else but a pileup. We're so keen on grabbing all these belongings. We're so keen on not letting it go. And that's what I want to start off with very briefly. A magnetic pull to a materialistic fall. In the past several months, Brother Humphrey was talking about Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. We studied and we learned what is important. We studied and learned that how everything is temporal, but God, but Christ, is eternal. In the aftermath of Sandy, I know many of you have struggled and suffered, whether it be out of power or what have you, or you know relatives or loved ones who have died or injured or in the hospital. I've heard the horror stories, story after story. But it put me into perspective as I began to think. I have a $200 cell phone. You know, people have the iPhone 5. All these greatest gizmos. What's the use if there's no power? It becomes a $200 paperweight. You know, people have a Acura and MDX and Mercedes-Benz and 100,000 $50,000 cars, what's the use if it's got no gas? Right? Or these houses and homes, now no power, or flooded, or washed away. Not even being in existence of that there was once a house there. Or in our case, entire amusement park washed away. What about gas? I'm sure many of you have stood in line for gas by now, sometimes hours together. Before, what was it? Before, we were complaining about the prices, right? Gas price? Oh, it's too high, too high. This is ridiculous, $4 for a gallon. But now, we'll pay $8 for a gallon. We'll pay $10, so long as we get that gas. And that's what it is. I know I'm caught up into it. Many times we're so connected with this materialistic pull that we can't, it's almost like our life support. And as Christians, we must be far away from that sort of thinking, that sort of mindset. That is not our pull, for our pull comes from above. And it should not come from this worldly possessions. I heard a quote that said, "The world is full of people who are making a good living, but living poor lives." See, life is tragic for the person who has plenty to live on, but nothing to live for. I received an email of people and their cell phones. Most of you have cell phones. But in my generation, or in the younger generation, cell phones is almost like a limb of a body. Everyone's got one. Everyone cannot be seen without one. Always pulling it out. It's always there. You wake up, open your eyes, cell phone. When people didn't have power, they couldn't charge their phones, they didn't even know what time it was. People don't have watches anymore. They use the time, or they set the alarms on the phones. They couldn't even know. So I have some pictures here to better illustrate this. I don't know if you can see it. Friends having coffee together on their phones. Friends eating out on their phones. Enjoying a time at the museum, enjoying the art on their phones. How about a day at the beach? On their phones. Enjoying the game? You can't quite see, but there are four people there on their phones. How about a sightseeing? How about driving? The number of car accidents that occur almost on a daily basis because of people texting and driving. And that's what Albert Einstein said. "I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction." He said that long before cell phones. But rather than a magnetic pull to materialistic fall, I'd like to take a look at a mighty call to a majestic God. More than our separation from God, because we are not communicating with God and with the people around us in whatever gizmo, or we're with the world around us, we're wasting our time. As Brother Humphrey said in Ecclesiastes, our time, how precious it is, how fleeting it goes by. There's a poem that reads, "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone." Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now, as Paul's writing these letters, this letter to the Colossians, chapter 2 is talking about the philosophy, not philosophy, but Christ, not legalism, but Christ. And here in chapter 3, we're talking about the carnality, not carnality, but Christ. You see, they were getting so carried away with the legalistics and all these rituals and these ceremonies of law and in these traditional way, and they were forgetting and omitting Christ. In that same manner, in our daily walk, in our daily life, we have so many things around us that sometimes we're omitting Christ. And we're just going to look at these four verses, and we're going to spend the next several minutes just talking about them, one by one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If then you are raised with Christ. In order to include Christ in the equation, you must first be raised. In order to be raised, you first must have died. And here he's talking about the baptism. See, Christ rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. In the like manner, when we were immersed in the water, we're putting our old self, our old sinful nature, to death. And as we're coming out, as we're rising out of that water, we're a new creation with new beginnings, a new life. See, you have risen with Christ into new life. So concentrate on what is in heaven. Christ is there. He is sitting next to God in the place that has honor. Risen. We are risen with Christ. In Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek. Seek those things which are above. Not these worldly things, not these things that we see, but that is which is unseen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Since we are sealed, we must seek that which is not seen. Because we were raised from a death of sin to a life of grace. As believers, our vision and our view should only be upwards. Because we long for God, what God has in store for us. Christ did not die just to save us. End chapter close. He died so we may spend eternity with him. He died so for our salvation. It is not just because of the justification he came, but is also for the sanctification. Because he has set us apart for holy use. Because he has so many great things in store for us. See, when you were saved, when you believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross, or as we remembered this morning, over and over, the price paid, how he purchased us, when we make that decision, that instantaneous transfer, our position changes. See, positionally, at that time, when we make that decision, our place is in heaven. We are no longer part of this world. Our faith is in Christ. So we are taken out of this world and we have overcome the world. Our place is heaven. When you receive the divine power that came in salvation, the great and precious promises, when you were made a partaker of the divine nature, you escaped the corruption of the world. We're no longer part of this world. We are made holy. We're made new because He has redeemed us. He has restored us. So now, if our position is in heaven, if that is where we belong, what do we do? How do we live a life so our focus is upwards? We follow Christ. Because our position is in Christ. In Christ, we have eternal life. And that's why we seek those things which are above. Because He is sitting at the right hand of God. He has conquered sin and death. And now, at heaven. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In some translations, I believe it says, set your affections. Set your mind on things above. Concentrate on the things that are above. They are in heaven. Do not think about the things that are on this earth. In Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Set your mind on the things above. John 15:19 and John 18:36. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. All this is talking about Christ's position. He was in the heavens. He was there since the beginning of time. But when He stepped into time and became flesh, died on the cross, although He was in the world, He was not of the world. In the same manner, we too should be. Although we're in this world, we should not be of it. Our place is in heaven. So therefore, let us always be preoccupied with Christ. But it is so hard for us to do. Isn't that right? In whatever we do, whether it be our workplace, whether it be our schools or activities or whatever it is, people we hang out with, it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, in the mundane things, in things that we just have to do. We've got a laundry list of things that we need to do. But we sometimes omit Christ. Sometimes I'm rushing just to even get a meal into my schedule. I'm running around. Okay, I got to get something to eat. I get something to eat. I grab something. And I'm so hungry or I'm so busy about getting this food in my system that I forget to pray. Something as simple as that. Just to give grace. Gets so easy to just forget Christ. So easy to get caught up in this world, in this materialism. Oh, I got to get that. I got to do this. And that's all I want to come across today, is for a moment to step out of this world. And once we start living out of this world, we'll get used to that and we'll be able to establish a close relationship. And rather than communicating with the world, we can start communicating with God. We must desire Christ more than anything or anyone else. And as we continue to set our mind on things above and not on things on the earth, a transformation begins to happen. God, the Holy Spirit that's in us, will soon begin to change us. Our thinking will be like His. His will be ours. And all we have to do is keep Him as our focal point. Keep Him centered. This morning, our brother John read in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. He's there in heaven preparing a place for us. We have this eternal hope. We have this longing because we do not belong here. This is not our place. God has placed us here to fulfill His will. But this is not where we're going to be forever and ever. But we're going to be spending our time with our Heavenly Father. So why not start now? Why not start spending our time with Him? So this way we can know how to use our time. There are several verses that talk about the heavenly places in Ephesians and in Philippians. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in His right hand in the heavenly places. Throughout Scripture, we hear about the heavenly places because that's where He is. So there we will be also. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. I don't know what your passport says, but it better be saying heaven. There's no long lines to stand or a fee to pay to get that passport. It is just faith, because our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're dead. Your old life is gone. And then it says, God has hidden. Life is hidden with Christ in God. John 8, verse 23, the first part about your old life being dead. You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. In Galatians chapter 6 and chapter 2, it once again talks about being crucified through Christ. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And if we are dead to the earth and have renounced it as our happiness, it is absurd for us to set our affections upon it. If we are dead to the world, if we have already died, if we have already submerged into the baptismal waters, if we have already confessed, we have already taken Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we already have that faith in the justification, why do we set our affections on the things of this earth? Why do we constantly seek for these materialistic thoughts? The verse ends with, we should be like a dead thing to it, unmoved and unaffected towards it. Because I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have life through Christ. So let's live like it. I was talking about the scriptures, and somehow, shape, or form, I was talking to a coworker, and she knew I was a Christian. I kind of knew she was spiritual in some sense, but I wanted to know more. I didn't know if she was a Christian or not, so I thought I'd ask her some questions because she was saying something. And we got a little bit carried away when we were talking, and I'm still not quite figuring out where her standpoint is. So I started to ask her some specific questions, but the way she was talking, the way she was communicating to me, was full of life and energy. I was like, wow, what does she know that I don't know? What is this faith she has? What is this? I'm trying to figure out where she's coming from. Only to find out, as I kept asking her questions, that she was in some sort in Wicca or some sort of cult form. She was believing in spirits are in everything and all sorts of things. But I was just thinking about the fact and how she was communicating to me. If I wasn't a believer, if I didn't have this faith, what would I be? Would I listen to what she said? The way she was coming across? How come we sometimes lack that joy and that energy, that enthusiasm in communicating what we believe is true? She who is communicating something that is not true is speaking so energetically. But we that have something that is true sometimes fail in delivering the message. Because many times what happens is we get so caught up in everything that we don't, you know, nowadays it's all about not offending anyone. Oh, be politically correct. And in turn, what ends up happening? Becomes reverse discrimination, right? Against Christianity and Christians and everything. I digress. Eternal life is also hidden. See, it ends with, life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden, that means secure. Our salvation is secure in heaven. Our spiritual life is secure from the people around us and sometimes from ourselves. See, when we come out of that water, we come out as a new creation. We look the same. We have the same physical features and physical person. But we are made new. We are created new. And that is kept secure. Our name is written in the Lamb's book. Way before that, when we make that decision to follow Christ. So, after that decision, our eyes should always be heavenly and looking upward. Our faith is secured. Because once written in that Lamb's book, nothing can shake it. Nothing can be erased. Nothing can be taken out. J.B. Lightfoot says, "The veil which now shrouds your higher life from others, and even partly from yourselves, will then be withdrawn. The world which persecutes, despises, ignores, will then be blinded with the dazzling glory of your revelation. Visible as the church is, its glory is hidden until the Lord's return." So we are waiting. We're waiting for what? Christ's second coming. Because the story doesn't end when he died on the cross, right? It doesn't end when he conquered sin and death and rose again on the third day. The story is still happening. We're in the grace period. So we're waiting for when he calls us by name. Verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Hallelujah. Can't wait for that day. Personally speaking, I cannot wait for that day. When Christ, who is our life, he must be our life. Because what? He is life. He did not give life. He is life. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. There's going to be a day when we'll leave this world. There's going to be a time when Christ is going to come back and call us. Is he going to call you? Because this is not it. I asked some people, what's going to happen when you die? I'll just turn into dirt. I'll go into the dirt. I am afraid for them, how they will be spending eternity. And that's what verse 4 is talking about. It gives us this hope. For us who believe, for those who have that salvation, belief in Christ, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we'll appear with him in glory. In Revelation chapter 19, it talks about Christ coming back clothed in white linens, and it talks about his saints. That's us. In our spiritual bodies, glorified with Christ. Hallelujah. And then it goes back to verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ. The whole passage, this whole thing is all about that one word, if. All this is meaningless if you don't have Christ. And that should be our focal point. That should be our drive. That should be our vision. Day in, day out. Hour in, hour out. Minute after minute. Like the hymn goes, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. We look at him for our strength. We look at him for our peace. We look at him for eternity. He is our life. So all these things that are around us that we think will last, especially in the past couple of weeks, we now know won't last. Cars don't last. Houses don't last. Lives don't last. Except one life, eternal life. So are you secured? Do you have that hope that without a shadow of a doubt, you are saved? And that's what it's all about. Keeping that focus on him. Set your minds, set your affections on things above. God is preparing a place for us. In my house are many mansions. He's preparing a place for us. That's where we belong. He's sitting at the right hand of God. We look upward. We look to Christ. Let's not fall into this magnetic pull of materialism. Let's not fall into this daily grind. But be joyful, because we have the truth, the Word of God. And when somebody asks you, what's different about you? What do you believe in? Why do you act this way or that way? Oh, just cut the corner here, it's okay. Be bold. Have strength, because Christ is in you. Tell them the truth. Tell them what you believe in. He will give you the words. He'll help you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid in sharing the truth. When I was in high school, my mom told me this story. Stuck with me since. If I had a glass of water and Brother Fred was going to drink it, he was just about to take the cup of water and he's just about to put it on his mouth, just about to drink it. Now, I happen to know that that glass of water is poisoned. That glass of water is pure death. What am I going to do? He's going to put it in his mouth. He's going to drink it. What am I going to do? Snatch it from him. No, don't drink it. I'll grab it from him. I'll hit it on the ground. I'll do whatever it takes. And I'm sure you'll do it as well. The same manner, say if it wasn't Brother Fred, say if it was your enemy, say if it was somebody you didn't like, I'm sure you would still smack that glass. And there are friends, there are co-workers, there are people around you, your barber, your the librarian, what have you. There are people around you just about to drink that cup. We don't know where time is going to lead. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. But time is fleeting, and time will soon go. Are you going to be able to snatch that cup of water, that sin? Are you able to going to knock that out of somebody's hand and be able to share the truth full of joy and love? And that'll all happen naturally when we set our minds on the things above, when we seek heavenly things, when we look to God for everything in prayer and supplication. We will naturally be in God's will. We won't be into this materialistic fall, but we'll be called by a majestic God. Second Corinthians chapter 4, 8. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything here on this earth is temporal. But there's only one thing that is eternal. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this day humbly, O Lord. Lord, this morning, as we were thinking of the price paid on that cross, O Lord, how you have purchased us, O Lord, all the sacrifice that was made for us, O Lord, to save us from eternal death, but O Lord, we think of you, what you have done to save us. The price paid, O Lord, for us, O Lord. Who are we, O Lord? Thank you, O Lord, for saving us, O Lord, and giving us this eternal hope. So help us as we walk our Christian walk to remember what you have done on the cross, and to remember what will soon happen as you come again. So as we are here in this world, that our minds and hearts look to you and help us to follow you day in, day out. Help us not to be carried away by our possessions and everything that we've own and our obsession towards it, but instead help us to live for your glory, for your honor, as it is written, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. O Lord, we look for your coming. O Lord, we have this hope, we have this joy, and we have this peace. that only those who are called have. Oh Lord, and as we encounter these people around us, help us to share your word. Help us to deliver your message, the good news, oh Lord. It may not be by words, it may be just be by the way we live, by the life we lead, by the examples. Oh Lord, help us to be a light, a beacon. As we read earlier, help us to be a mirror so those around us can see you, oh Lord, and who you are and what you have done on the cross. Thank you, O Lord, for your mercies and your love, O Lord. Thank you for everything you have done, O Lord. And most importantly, thank you for this free gift, thereby giving us citizenship in heaven. We look forward to the day, one day, when we are joined together. Lord, prepare our hearts and help us to strive for you, O Lord. Thank you for everything you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.